that may become even more important as we are aging. And our study and here, if you don't have them, if you forgot them, if you need one, there's some here next to Mike and Lori. There's two different pages, actually, front, back, and front again, that we started last week on aging. A long time ago, I said Saturday Night Live needed to do a skit. And in that, you know, they do all kinds of things. And I thought about an old Johnny Rivers song, and I said what they need to do is somebody that looks real young, but when things happen and people are in trouble, they turn into all of a sudden a superhero, but they got long white hair and they grow a white beard, and the song would be Secret Aging Man instead of Secret Agent Man. But sorry. Last time we were talking about questions of hope and how we age. How we age, and some of the myths about aging that we had there. Let's not bump heads. Some of the myths about aging, some of the ways that society looks at folks as they age. Some of the ways that society looks at us, of course, the old Chinese proverb, the older the precious gem in the center of the household, that is that age is not really necessarily something, in spite of these aches and pains we sometimes have, is not supposed to be something we necessarily shy away from or are afraid of, but rather we are to continue growing even in that time and sharing our wisdom. In Chinese society in particular, but a lot of Far Eastern, but Chinese society in particular, the older the person, the more revered. Why? Because they've lived through experiences, and the presumption is that they've gained wisdom and insight to share. And in certain religious traditions and societal traditions, once you reach a certain age, you can stop working and the rest of the family takes care of all your needs so that you can give out sage advice or you can wander out in the woods or in the mountains or whatever. And in some traditions, when your first grandson is born, you could do that. So I'd never be able to retire because I'm going to have two granddaughters. But you could do that. And you didn't have to work at all. You would just meditate, do other things, and everybody else in your family was required. The expectation was that they would care for you and provide. But we don't think that way. As we talked briefly about last time, I mean, society says, you know, wash away that gray, you know, just for men. And Andy McDowell, who I mentioned this morning in Groundhog Day, Andy McDowell is one of those proponents of, I don't know if it's L'Oreal or whatever, but she's always on TV with the get rid of the gray kind of thing. Or anti-wrinkle cream, the workplace. Majority of job ads cater to the 40s and under. And other kinds of things. And the myths. Most old people are senile or lack mental capabilities. And we talked about how those are myths. But they don't. Studies have been done and shown that with proper nutrition and everything else and activity, the brain of an 80-year-old is just as alert and capable of learning as that of a 12 or 13-year-old. But the key is that we don't let that go by. We continue to use our brains rather than put them on a shelf when we hit certain ages, etc. And so where we ended last time was, how do we deal with aging? The backside of page one. Attitudes. And this is where we were last time as we ended. Bill Tuck relates a story that he saw. A younger woman said to an older friend, "I wish I could grow old gracefully like you." And the older woman looked at her and said, "My dear, you don't grow old. When you cease to grow, you are old." It's all about attitude and what we do with that. As we said, the oldest person in the Bible, Methuselah, only thing we're really told is that Methuselah lived a long time and had sons and daughters. Unlike other people that we have things about, including Enoch. He was the son of Enoch. And Enoch, we're told, walked with God, and he was no more because he walked with God. That is, his lifelong pursuit was having a close relationship with God. And then from Joshua chapter 14, verses 11 through 13, we read there about Caleb, where Joshua's handing out the land to the people and the different tribes, and he's going to kind of give everything, the land, not to Caleb, but to Caleb's family. And Caleb says, wait a minute, hold on, time out. He's 85 years old, so I'm still as strong today as I was on the day Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for coming, going and coming. So now give me the hill country. He didn't say, give me the nice pasture land. He said, give me the hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out, as the Lord said. Now, wait a minute. He's even talking about going to war with the people that live in the hill country and leading them. And he's 85 years old. Feisty old coot, isn't he? Well, Joel said that the young men will have visions, the old men will dream dreams. Well, he had confidence. Now, he had confidence. He continued with good health, but he also continued. He kept saying, just as the Lord said, just as the Lord said. So he didn't just exercise his body, he exercised his mind, and he exercised his spirit. So how do we deal with aging? One is attitude. Attitude. We give up, that's it. And that's one of the things we especially see when there's disease that strikes, and we know, you know, if a person gives up, it's over. And so we encourage them. You know. Well, but that's even if we don't have diseases. It's attitude. Secondly, learning and living our inside age, whether we're old or young inside. Yeah. I know that there are people in here because I've heard you say it on occasion. You're only as old as what? As you feel. You're only as old as you feel. You're only as old as you think you are. Right? I still try to go down the fastest snow slide to go the furthest that I can. And I did ask the guy yesterday of the first run. I said, can I get up on that little hill there and get a running start and jump on this tube? And he said, no. But I wanted to. But, you know, I hope I never completely grow up. I get on those industrial strength swings. I want to see if I can go high enough to where I can wrap it around the top. Hadn't done that yet. I get to chain slack, but, you know, I'd like to get swing out there enough to go all the way around one time. And my mind goes places sometimes that my body won't, right? But Henry Nouwen, the great minister and counselor Henry Nouwen, wrote, and I quote here, "Aging is one of the most essential human processes, one that can be denied only with great harm. Every man or woman who has discovered or rediscovered his or her own aging has a unique opportunity to enrich the quality of his or her own life and that of every fellow human being. If we don't age well, and if we don't not just learn, but if we don't live our age." Now, that doesn't necessarily mean our chronological age, but the age of our spirit, our internal age, then we rob ourselves of opportunities. Opportunities to grow. But we also rob others of the opportunity to see us grow and to learn. And for us to learn from them. You know, even as we age, anybody other than Ed think they know it? No. The older you get, you know, I say often, the older I get, the smarter my parents become. Yeah. As we age, hopefully we live that age, but we discover it and we discover the opportunity to enrich our lives in various ways. Whether it's by, it can be taking classes that we always wanted to do, reading all those books that we said we were supposed to read in college, but we just kind of skimmed through them and did reports on them. Learning to paint. Stay away from horses. Betty. Every time Betty gets around horses, they step on her foot. Learning to ride horses. Learning to ski. One of the former Bush presidents, on what birthday was it? He went skydiving. Learning to do things and enrich life. And not just your bucket list. And not just for you, but things that will not only enrich our own lives, but those of others, family members and friends and others whom we might touch. But we can't do that if we don't have a proper attitude and learn to live that internal age. Also, look forward in life as much as we look backward. You know, folks that end up spending most of their lives looking back and talking about the past and never talking about the present or the future, or talk very little about the present and don't even talk about the future because they're scared to death. Bill Tuck says, whether we are 18 or 25 or 40 or 80, we cannot lock ourselves into the rooms of the past. At least we can't do that and live. But we can experience real living as we move toward the open door of the future. I mean, we've still got life ahead of us. We're not intended. I don't believe that God intends for us to all of a sudden say, okay, well, I've hit this age. I'm just going to plop down like old bullfrog, and that's where I'm going to stay. Besides, eventually, what's going to happen to that bullfrog? Somebody's going to come along with a frog gig. No. We don't grow. We've still got life ahead of us and purposes ahead of us. As I shared at the beginning of last time, Golda Meir became Prime Minister of Israel at age 71. Konrad Adenauer was first elected Chancellor of West Germany when he was 73, and he served for 14 years. Socrates was 80, and he said, I think I want to learn how to play music. Grandma Moses didn't start painting until she was 70, and painting until she was 100. John Wesley preached until he was 88. John the 23rd was elected Pope at 77 and revamped the Catholic Church. Ben Franklin helped draft the Declaration of Independence at age 69. And on we could go. One that I didn't share last time. Anybody know Amos Alonzo Stagg? Football coach. Yeah. At age 70, the University of Chicago forced him to retire. And so he found a job coaching at the University of the Pacific for 14 more years. And when he was 81, he was voted Coach of the Year at 81. So look forward to life. Continue to do things which will help not only enrich our lives, but enrich the lives of others. Yeah. I told somebody one time, I said, well, what are you going to do when you retire? I mean, especially with the way the economy goes, well, I can always say, welcome to Walmart. How may I help you? But somebody's got to do it. But I hope that I can do even more. Mother Teresa was still working with the lepers right up until the time she died. And I still remember a story told by Dan Vestal, who was a Baptist minister and for a number of years was the head of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship nationally. He said that he went to visit Mother Teresa one time when he was over in India and wanted to talk with her. So he had an appointment. He was waiting. He got to talking with the nun that was there at the reception desk. And she was talking about, how... said, today's my birthday. So Rick said, yes, sir. I'm 80 years old today. And so 80 years old, and she's still there working. And he said, I looked at her and said, well, you don't look near that old. And she said, son, Jesus didn't save you to lie to an old woman like me. But here she was at 80 years old, and she was still serving a purpose. So look forward in life. we can still reflect on the past and think about things, good and bad, that happened in the past. Especially things that lessons we learn from them, but then we can continue to build on those as we get older. I hope, anyway. Here's the tough one, or one of the tough ones. Accept that as we grow older, there are things we can't do as well as when we were younger. That's a hard thing. It's even harder for guys in some ways, right? But there are things that we can't do as well, but we might still be able to do them. Or help others to accomplish tasks. Things that we used to do better, but we can't do now. Learn to adjust. There is a generation gap. And some people are scared to death. There's some older folks that are scared to death of young people. I suggest, among other things, shock one of these young people by speaking first. Actually, catch them when they're walking and say, hey, speak to them, call their name, ask them how they're doing. Take an interest in them. Might make them wonder what's wrong. But it also might help us to learn. To learn. I was rereading something today and was reminded that of two movies. One that was mentioned in the article or the book I was reading, but then I remembered the other one, Soylent Green, but with Charlton Heston and Eli Wallach. But Logan's Run. Y'all may or may not have ever read the book Logan's Run, 1967. You may have watched the TV series or the movie that was on, set in the future. Actually, in the movie, they changed the age to 30, but in the book, at age 21, everybody agreed at age 21 that they would go to these big coliseums and be euthanized so that they could live as recklessly as they wanted to until they were 21 years old. And then to make the world a better place, they just go ahead and blank out. That doesn't make the world a better place. The world becomes a better place when, in spite of the generation gaps, we learn ways or we create ways or we take the risk and the chance to reach beyond our generation to the next. The ones behind us, the ones ahead of us. Pearl Buck wrote, and I quote, "Only through the generation gap can each generation contribute its very best. The young to use their impetuous zeal to learn and to progress, and the old to express their wisdom and their optimistic belief in themselves and the world. If each generation learns only by its own experience, we merely mark time and get nowhere." End quote. And that's the risk. That's the risk. It's a risk for us as we get older, because there are a lot of things we don't understand about younger. But you know, there was a point in time where we were those younger ones too. Dragon Main. You know, there were main streets and doing other things. We were the ones. Don't you be like those people with long hair. And so what'd I do? I got to college, I grew my hair out. In fact, when Mary and I got married, it was yay long. But be a part of making a difference with younger generations as well as old. And young folks, at the same time, if we had anybody in here that was under our ages, I'd say the same thing to them. Don't just reach out to the folks in your own, although you need that for a base, but reach out to folks who are older as well and younger. Because if all we do is mark time, then not only do we get nowhere, the rest of the world gets nowhere. And I think the world's in grave need of us to help them get somewhere. Enjoy the simple things in life. We've been talking some before we started, just kind of chatting around about some of these celebrities who keep proving over and over to us that celebrity and money doesn't necessarily make you have a happy life. Philip Seymour Hoffman, 46-year-old actor that was found dead in his apartment. Justin Bieber. Do you believe that Miley Cyrus was on, I saw on the news the other day, Miley Cyrus was on a talk show giving Justin Bieber advice about how he needed to straighten out his life. What? But you know what her advice was? He needs to build his own house and compound and have all of his parties there instead of going somewhere else. I thought, and pay people to protect the perimeter and keep people. What? But then again, here. But, and I thought, Miley Cyrus is giving Justin Bieber advice on how to keep your life straight. But the simple things in life. A lot of times we think we've missed out on something. But, Michael Jordan had to drop the price of his mansion. Ken was telling me this a while ago. He saw he had to drop the price of his mansion, 17 acres outside of Chicago, from $40 million to $29 million. He said, before you start feeling sorry, his endorsements alone, without doing anything else, bring in $89 million a year to him. So. And yet, Jordan's had a divorce. Jordan has had his share of trouble. Or Kobe Bryant. Or any number of others. The simple things in life. What are some of those simple things that you can enjoy that help give life meaning as you grow older? Waking up, that's right. Being able to look at the grass instead of watching the roots. Standing up. Yep. What other things? Yeah. Oh, it wasn't free. The best things in life are free. Yeah. Right. Slow down and. Yeah. And old, slow down and smell the roses.
But that song's kind of like reading the Bible. Just read one or two verses and then you miss it. Read the whole chapter and do something else. Like that song.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, and people look at me and say, how in the world can you get, I can't get up that early in the morning. Why would you want to go sit in the cold and a deer stand in the woods? I said, because I've seen things in sunrises. I've had owls land in the branch right above me in the same tree. I've had squirrels come right up within, I could reach out and touch a squirrel before it realized it was there. I've seen so many other things, too. And just the whole beauty. An autumn day, and the sun comes up shining through over the horizon, shining through the leaves. And it's just the simple things. But we tend to clutter our lives with so much, don't we? Don't we? We clutter them with all kinds of things. Well, I'm glad you didn't try me. I just remembered that cell phone was on. we do. Yes, I know you have a groundhog. That's a squirrel on steroids. No. Right. It's probably going to have little groundhogettes under there, too. Right, but, you know. And who knows? Yeah. They might taste good. I don't know. Okay. I mean, we grew up eating squirrels. So. But, you know, those simple things and watching those simple things. So, see, instead of the Super Bowl tonight, you can go home and watch the Puppy Bowl. Try, and notice I said try to overcome pessimism and to be and become positive. That's tough today, isn't it? It's especially tough today not to be pessimistic. Every time you turn the news on, every time you read the newspaper, sometimes when you walk outside and look across the street, or maybe in your own backyard, it's tough. But it was also tough in the worlds of the past. It'll be tough in the worlds of the future. But it truly is needed. One writer says, pessimism kills hope, initiative, and a guiding purpose with which we need to keep life alive and move toward a goal. Pessimism kills hope. It kills initiative. It kills a guiding purpose that we need to keep life alive and move toward a goal. Now, that doesn't mean that we should say, that we should look and say, oh, tax time again. Yippee! That was for you, Debbie. Well, Debbie does, yeah. No. Or, you know, that doesn't mean that something happens, car breaks down, and say, great, now I got to spend $1,000 on a car. Yeah. But instead of being totally pessimistic about it, try and find the good within that. You know, what's that old saying? I know most of y'all in here are too young to know it. But in every cloud, look for a silver lining. Yes. A few of you are old enough to know that. But you know, but then again, that almost sounds like it could be somewhere in the Bible. That almost sounds like something that somebody said to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 16, 17, and 18. Paul writes, rejoice always. And what he means there is have an attitude of rejoicing regardless of the circumstances. Look for something about which to rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Sometimes the only time we really pray is when there's trouble. But pray in the good, the bad, and the ugly. Give thanks in all circumstances. Pessimism will have us not rejoicing and will have us looking for the bad. But Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. Maybe the thanks that you give is, thank God it's not worse. Now, how do we move forward? How do we move forward with that? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, in other places it says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, your sanctification. But here he says, the will or the desire of God in Christ Jesus for you is that you will rejoice, even when things aren't going well. You'll find reason to rejoice. You will pray, good times, bad times, mundane times. You will give thanks in all circumstances, even in the middle of those horrible days. That's what God wants us to do. And that's the work. That's hard. At least it is for me. That's hard. And yet that's biblical. God's desire is that we not be pessimistic about everything, but we develop a sense of a positive. We don't have to be totally optimistic, but a positive approach can overcome a lot of negative activity and negative action and negative thoughts. Nurture faith and find ways to serve the church and the community at large. Reuel Howe, who, as we mentioned last time, was a minister for a number of years in the church, relates how to stay in his book, How to Stay Younger While Growing Older. And he said, before concluding, here you can read, he says, before concluding a worship service with a benediction, he likes to ask people to turn and look at the door and ask themselves whether it's an entrance or an exit, and the answer makes a great difference. If the door is simply an exit, there's no future. If it's an entrance, then each one is taking the meaning of the worship experience and going with trust into the world. In other words, finding ways to carry the meaning of that worship experience from the church into the world at large, the community. We're not exiting, we're entering fields of service. So nurture our faith. That takes work to grow, to nurture that faith, and find ways to serve. And some of y'all do. Some of y'all and the people who know it. There's some people in this room that try to do things for folks and don't want anybody to know it, but it's done. But more and more of us need to find ways to serve the church and the community at large, and to use our service in the church then as a springboard to serving the community at large. And it doesn't have to be in grandiose ways. It can be in very simple ways. In the Bible, age was seen as a crown of glory, not something to be avoided or to dread. But age was seen as a crown of glory. Actually, it even says that the graying hairs are seen as a crown of glory. I heard that testimony, sister. No. Are there other ways? Are there other ways that we can deal with aging so that it's not always a drain? Are there ways that we haven't touched on that perhaps you have found? Things that you do or think about or have found? These are questions. How do we deal with it? How does society deal with it? What do we do to give us hope? Notice the title of this series is Questions and Hope. Right. Well, finding something to do to keep active. Right. Well, it does, but it also exercise or doing things like that also helps keep the brain active.
That's right.
And when you retire? Yeah. Right. Right. That's true. You do have a choice and do those things. Ed, what happens is the difficulty is days a lot of times tend to run together because I've been told when you retire, you lose all your sick days and all your vacation days.
I've been looking at comp time.
Right.
The disease process has robbed them of that.
Right.
So you've got to figure out ways to help them still feel needed and still have that hope and still not be pessimistic.
And that's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And especially when you're having to do it on a daily basis. And especially when you know, there are folks that they'll have a 30-minute conversation with you, and then 5 minutes later, if you walk by the room, they'll call you in and have the same 30-minute conversation. And then an hour later, you walk by the room and they call you in and have the same 30-minute conversation. And it's not only is it difficult then to find ways to help them, and sometimes just continuing to listen without rolling your eyes, but it's also difficult when you know that that's what you're facing, to keep your own and hope and pray that that's not you. You know, I've told the story before. My grandmother Hearn died from eventually. I mean, of course, she was almost 92, but had pretty good health, but had dementia and Alzheimer's. And the last couple of years, my father would go see her, and it just, yeah, sometimes he'd come out and you could just tell how, because she thought he was my uncle. And she would just talk to my uncle, who was my father, about what a horrible son my father was, because he never came to see her and do anything for her, and said, and I wish, Milford, I wish that you were my son. Yeah. And but she died, eventually complications of Alzheimer's. He had two sisters that died, 88 and 86. Alzheimer's complications, and one of them spent 5 years in an institution, didn't know you were in the room the last four. And any time my father, and so that, and he would go visit regularly, but any time my father would forget something that he thought he should remember, you could see it in his eyes. He's, he thought it was happening to him. And the strange thing, which I've shared with some of you, is that if you look in my father's family back a couple of generations, the men never had that. It was only women in the family that did. So I don't know if it was a genetic disposition or whatever. I mean, my grandfather Hearn died 2 months shy of his 93rd birthday, and he was just as clear and lucid the day he died as he ever was. My father, when he died, was still just as clear and lucid as he could be, and his grandfather was. And so, but it is difficult. And then you know. And sometimes I don't know. I don't know how you do that. Right. 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 Help them do those things. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, and it can help. Well, the problem is that you have to be careful that it doesn't help you in a depressive state. Other ways. You had that old book, I'm Okay, You're Okay. And so I'm going to say, I'm okay, you're okay, but I'm not sure about the rest of these folks. Yeah. Right. Well, I do think that really our attitude and keeping active and keeping mentally and spiritually active can really help us. And help us to help other people, especially. Right. Right. Probably so. Anyone else? Right. Yeah. Roy wasn't going to sit down. And that's a simple activity that doesn't take a lot, really doesn't take all that much effort. But you have to keep everything going. And I mean, so. Right.
All things are there, but naturally all which is health, age, whatever, don't leave out nothing.
No. And the difficulty is when we stop doing that too.
Yeah, we've got
in all churches.
Mm-hmm.
All them Christian walks of life and following the way today. We just don't serve God like we've been to be. We need to get back to that and start, a lot of times we're ashamed. We're ashamed to serve God.
Well, there are a lot of folks, or afraid.
And God said we're paid for things, that if we're ashamed of Him, He's ashamed of us.
And we, folks get afraid and they, but that perfect love casts out fear, but sometimes we forget that.
We know all the fearful part of it. That's probably the main part of it, we need to rely more on God.
Right.
So, I think people, as we get older, we don't want people to know that we're sick. We don't want those people that we might have a limp or, we want to impress people, I think. I know Gordon Neffert, he's only got the way kind of hard walk, he wasn't riding no wheelchair. He said, no, some woman might see me in that wheelchair,
Well, evidently, you get to take care of him.
Yeah.
Nah.
But that's not no isolated thing.
No.
I know we all before have
pride.
Right?
Hubris. Which, by the way, in the Dante's allegory, the Divine Comedy, Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso, the worst of all the seven deadly sins was pride, and it was the thing that led to so many others. Okay. Well, thank y'all. I hope you have a good night. Be careful going home. I look forward to spending more time with you. God bless you. Go in peace. I didn't say amen, Al. So you can't go anywhere yet.